Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Back here, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid in just a minute or so. The only place you can hear from Coach Reid on a Monday is right here on your home for Kansas City Sports and home for the Chiefs. 96.5, The Fan, expecting right out of the gate to hear from the team directly on Isaiah Pacheco. But if you haven't been following it this morning, multiple national reports indicating that Isaiah Pacheco has a serious lower leg injury that's going to require surgery that will put him on IR, which we know, yes, he could be eligible in 4 weeks, much like the Hollywood Brown thing, but nobody expects that to be the case.
No.
The official wording from Ian Rappaport is a fractured fibula based on initial testing last night. We know he walked out of the stadium with a walking boot and crutches and was very emotional in the locker room with teammates going up to him. So if he's going to need surgery and they got to put, let's say, screws, you know, in your ankle and things like that. I mean, that's to come back at the running back position and be able to cut on your ankle again and everything. You don't have to be a doctor to realize that why that might be problematic to think that he's going to be able to be back with the team anytime soon, let alone in the regular season.
Yeah, this would be, I mean, if you just feel like being an optimist this morning, you could say, well, just imagine a world in which they win 13 games again, are the number one seed, and they're like, oh, just real quick, we're going to add back Pacheco and Hollywood Brown. Sucks to be the rest of you, which they've obviously already won two games. And we were talking with Mitch Holthus in the hallway. We had pointed out earlier in the show, they've won 8 straight games against nothing but playoff teams. They've beaten Cincy twice and the Ravens twice. Those have consistently been the two best teams in the AFC. They've beaten Miami and the Chargers. They have beaten San Francisco. They have beaten the Bills. Like, they are just essentially beating every regularly contending team from the last 3 years in the NFL for now about a half of an NFL season's worth. Now, look, I get it. There's a break in there, but that includes the fact that they had won a Super Bowl for that reason. So if there's a team I believe can find a way to sustain some injuries and kick the can down the road, it's probably that. But it also means they need a Minshew back so that they can once again be a staunch defense that helps them win games. And Xavier Worthy's going to have to come around a little bit faster. Carson Steele's going to have to come around a little bit faster than maybe they had intended this year.
And just, of course, you're thinner. You know, your margin of error in terms of the injuries at certain position just got a heck of a lot thinner. But at the running back position, I mean, we've just seen a rash of injuries already to begin with across the entire league. This is not just a Chiefs problem. You mentioned CMC earlier and his injury. You go through and look at some other teams in football right now.
Yeah, there's
quite a few going on, and that's what makes three-peating and in general, back-to-back, we would have said last year the same thing, very, very difficult to do. You got to stay healthy. And this staff, though, I think has shown, especially at the position that we're taught, the two positions we're talking about. Hollywood Brown last week, we know what that wide receiver room was last year. They found a way to get it done. Defense was great. And at the running back spot, a lot of teams in the league have undrafted guys, have seventh round picks. And of course, that's the case what the Chiefs are going to rely on now. They've been relying on Isaiah Pacheco, who's turned out to be a great player for this organization. And now they're going to lean on, I'm assuming, Carson Steele a hell of a lot more. And we'll see if there's any acquisition that happens midseason or the next week or so. Right now, though, for a game that you're playing on, today's already Monday, a game you're playing Sunday night, yeah, it's going to have to be Carson Steele and Samaje Perine. Clyde's not even eligible to come back to week 5. And that's not a sure thing that he's ready to go. He's dealing, of course, with off-the-field issues, and he's spoken publicly about some of the mental health challenges that he's facing. So you don't know what that's going to look like. Even if it's fine now, you don't know what it's going to look like in 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
No, we don't. Obviously, in the best-case scenario, that's kind of how you solve the problem at running back. Pacheco feels better, feels like he's in a good spot and has done the work he thinks he needs.
Or Clyde,
in order to do the work. And then you can go Carson Steele and Samaje Perine. Because then you essentially fit the same goal you want. You got a lead back and either Carson Steele or Clyde, depending on your mood. And then you have the spell back. And I would say in this case, it's more of a 50-50 share, but you get both. And then Samaje Perine, welcome to third down. Your short yardage back becomes Carson Steele, and you move on with your life. And I saw people yesterday, because it's easy to be like, what, we're going to trust Carson Steele? He gave the ball away. I will remind you that one of the guys people are asking for right now, the Chiefs have signed, is Kareem Hunt. He fumbled in his very first snap, I think, as a Kansas City Chief.
I think that's right. Yep.
And he had a pretty good year despite that. I think it was his very first snap the man put the ball on the ground. Don't worry. Andy will coach that the
hell out of you. That was the primetime game against the Patriots, wasn't it?
He'll coach that the hell out of you, or you won't be playing very long for him. That's just how Andy works. Players will occasionally fumble the ball. And by the way, I can see, like, even in Kansas City, Kareem Hunt is trending. So I'm not surprised.
Of course it is. You have a position, especially on a team that's going for a three-peat. You know, there's a little bit of concern, panic, obviously, when you have a guy like Pacheco, who's meant so much to this team, go down with an injury. And so you look at your best available options, and people know what said player was like prior to the last few years when he's aged a little bit. I mean, Kareem Hunt is 29 years old. He had his lowest yards per carry in his career last year in Cleveland. And we also know the history there. This is a little more complicated than just the simple, hey, can you help your team? Not only is he a free agent still, so other teams didn't think that he could help them, but also we know the history with this organization and why he was ultimately cut from this team. And you have the same head coach, the same general manager, right? And you have the same owner, of course. And nothing has changed there. And I hear you that they can deal with PR hits, and I hear you. But I don't know if you're, based off of the comments in the past from your owner, I don't believe that door is one that is open for that player. And if it is, I'll be surprised. I really will. Do I think he could help this team? Maybe. Do I think, if you think Kareem Hunt is anywhere near what he was when he was with this team, that's not happening. But I just don't think they are going back to that.
At this point, if you don't trust Clyde, you should just go bargain bin shopping on the practice squad. Bring back, because unless they're willing to add him to the 53, you can pluck anybody off anyone's practice squad you want. You put him on your roster. Welcome back to the club, Denaric Prince. You know the thing. You know who else is on a practice squad? Dalvin Cook. If you just want to go find some guy who's used to being in a two-down set, or you think can just be a safety net to go with your undrafted rookie running back, Carson Steele, fine. But the thing I'll say about Carson Steele, the same thing about Pacheco. I am not 100% sure that Carson Steele can't just be the answer, because running backs are weird and they come out of nowhere all the time. They are undrafted seventh round rookies who all of a sudden get the start because somebody got hurt. And all of a sudden you're like, wait, how good are they? Because you just never know with running backs until they are physically playing the position. The only thing you do know is after a certain age, it probably is not coming back, right? The magic's not. I think it's more likely that Carson Steele is a number one back in this league than Dalvin Cook will ever be again.
Yeah, I think Cook is washed, honestly. Yeah. We saw him with the Jets last year.
Stunk.
And now he's on the practice squad, as you said, with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they're starting Ezekiel Elliott, and they have Rico Dowdle in their backfield over Dalvin Cook. I mean, that's, come on.
That's all you need to know. But it's like, you know, Carson Steele's had 9 carries this year. You think I got any kind of answer on him? I don't have any idea what he's going to
do. No, that's fair. I question whether or not whoever they bring in, or they just retain what they have, that any of those guys is capable of carrying the same type of load that Pacheco has done, though.
Carson Steele can't do the same number of carries.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Carson Steele can come in and just be like, all right, 80% of the touches in the backfield are all going to him now. I don't think they can do that. But let's go out to Arrowhead and hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid right here on 96.5 The Fan.
All right, so I feel kind of the same way I felt last night after reviewing the tape. But I thought our guys did some real good things, and there are some things we've got to work on offensively. You've got to get rid of the turnovers and the penalties, and defensively, we did some great things. The field position at times wasn't great, but for the most part, we did some good things. We got to take away a couple of the big plays and a couple of the third downs, and we'll be in a good position. I thought special teams wise, we did a pretty good job there. Bucker had a nice day, and Ariza had a nice play, so I thought that was positive. As far as Pacheco goes, we'll go with the guys that we have here now. Veach is kind of going through his lists and looking at people, and we'll just see where that goes. But we've we're blessed to have some good people here. And then as far as the other injuries go, there's really nothing to talk about. And I don't know, I don't have a time frame on Pacheco, but I know it won't be this week, and it'll probably be more than that. So obviously, but it's going to take a little bit of time there. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
We'll go first to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy. Checo got the ball, I think, 25 times yesterday. Do you have a back on your roster that is capable, that you're comfortable with giving that kind of workload to? And Kelsey, I'll have a second question as well.
Well, one of the backs, I haven't had an opportunity to give it to him that much. Or a couple of them. So, well, really all three of them, Adam, if you looked at that. So I would tell you I have confidence in them. I just don't, I haven't experienced it with them.
Okay. And I'm curious about a decision you made yesterday. First drive of the game, offensive drive of the game, you got down there, fourth and one, you went for it and got it. And then you were fourth and one again later on that drive, and you kicked the field goal. Can you explain what you were thinking there?
Yeah, you know, we had three good opportunities at it and didn't get it, and I just thought we had need to come out of there with points, and so I did that. Yeah.
We'll go next to Sam McDowell. Sam.
Hey, Andy. What's the message for Kingsley this week, and what should be the takeaway as far as, do you still envision he'll be the starter this week?
Yeah, I haven't gotten that direction yet as far as the starter, not the starter, but he's got, you know, he's obviously got things he needs to work on and get worked out. Like I said last night, I felt like we needed to take a step back, take a step forward, and whether he's in or out, I still think that was the right thing to do there, and if he's out this week, then it'd be the right thing to do with that. But we haven't lost confidence in him, and that he was going against a good player. He's got to learn from it. I think he mentioned that to you, that he's got to take it in and get better. And I would tell you that with some of our young guys that played last night, they've got to just they've got to learn from the experiences that they get in these games.
We'll go next to Jesse Newell. Jesse?
Hey, Andy. Clyde obviously has remained around the team the last few weeks. I just wondered, what is his status as it relates to potentially returning in week five?
Yeah, that's part of the equation. So we've got to just kind of figure all of that out and see how all that fits in. But we know he's around, so that's, we just don't have him available here for a couple more weeks here. So, yeah.
We'll go next to Seren Petro. Seren?
I can't hear you.
Yep. Sorry, coach. Travis Kelce, I know, you know, you don't have a big day every day, and it's maybe magnified when it happens at the start, but I know he had a big play called back that would have made the numbers look better, obviously, but is he, the team's doing anything different to kind of try to take him away?
Yeah, they did have some things that they were attempting there, and he'll get his catches. It's not that he's slowing down or any of that bit. That's not what the deal is. So it's just, teams focus on him and kind of know he's been Pat's go-to guy. So what it's done though, Saran, is it's allowed us to, to utilize the other guys around him, and they've been productive.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney. Pete.
Hey, Coach, we've asked you about Carson Steele quite a bit throughout, you know, preseason, and we know you're high on him. Now the frame of reference has changed a little bit. What's your confidence level that he could be in the mix to handle, you know, what would be a full workload in the absence of Isaiah?
Yeah, well, he's going to have to step it up there in that role. So, but I think he likes to be challenged, and I think this will be a good challenge for him. He's obviously got to keep the ball high and tight. He had the fumble yesterday, and he doesn't have a history of that. So he's got to make sure he learns from that.
We have three more for you. We'll start with Nick Jacobs.
And Kelsey, I'll have a follow-up if I can, please. Andy, for your guys in some of those goal line situations and short yardage, how beneficial was it for the offensive line to kind of get some of those opportunities to really kind of move some people off the ball?
Yeah, I thought all day they did it. They really, I thought, played well in the run game part of it. And then they took advantage of it in the short yardage, with the exception of down there in that goal line stand that they had there. So but everything else I thought was very productive. We went at halftime averaging 7 yards a carry, so that part was good. We've got to build on that, though. We still had it. There were a couple issues here and there in the past game. It wasn't just Kingsley. There were other guys involved too. Kingsley's was more magnified. There were more of them, but it wasn't. There were other breakdowns that we had, so we've got to make sure we tighten that up a little bit.
And with the defensive coordinator like Lou Anarumo, just kind of, what was it yesterday that kind of kept you guessing?
Yeah, Lou does a nice job with things. He tried to throw a few different looks at us, so we were able to gain a lot of yards, which was good.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Matt?
Hey, Coach. A couple of quick questions for you. One, how much consideration did you give to trying that 68-yard field goal before the end of the first half?
Yeah, for about a second. And then I got out of that one. I figured, listen, we're getting the ball back the second half. We were receiving it. So I didn't want to have something happen there with a block. Sometimes those are low trajectory, and all of a sudden there's a block that takes place and it's going the opposite way, and we didn't need that at that point.
And two, on the, you know, I know Patrick, you trust Patrick Mahomes officer, certainly, but was there anything we saw with the interceptions yesterday that you felt like were some, you know, just learning points for him?
Yeah, so, you know, we had the route, the first one there was an option route with he and Kels, and they played a, you know, we really had to pull up on part of the option part of it. There was a little confusion, so between the two of them, yeah, that we were late with the ball, so that's what happened. But we'll take care of that. I can take care of that part. And then the deep throw. I thought that guy made a great play, but again, young receiver there, and he'll learn that either he gets it or nobody gets it. But I got to give that kid credit too.
Last one here. We'll go to Todd Lebo.
Hey, Coach, you know, Isaiah got that, looked like, pretty rough news yesterday. He was pretty emotional in the locker room. If you talk to him today, how's he doing spirits-wise? I know the physical injury is one thing, but got to attack the thing with your mind, too. How's he doing now with that part of it?
Yeah, so, well, he's been with a doctor, so I haven't seen him today, but I talked to him twice yesterday, last night. And I think he's in a better place. Anyway, that's tough. I was talking to some kids that came over to our house after the game, and I said, you know, sometimes you guys get emotional after you lose a game, and I said, you don't ever want to lose that. I mean, here's a guy that's a guy that loves to play the game, and so he had tears. He was emotional, but you don't ever want to lose it. Emotional sport, that kid, you know, nobody likes to play more than he likes to play. So you're gonna see that, and that's what's so great about this sport here.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate the time.
All right, yep. So that was Andy Reid exclusively here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Talking about Isaiah Pacheco at the end, we acknowledge that in the locker room, his emotions, and it's pretty evident, and the energy he brings to the team, and he's going to be out for a considerable period of time, if not the entire season. We'll see how – we still didn't get a timeline. Andy did not have a timetable for Isaiah Pacheco, but for the time being, and we'll talk more about this in 10 or 15 minutes, acknowledge kind of the in-house options while also knowing that Brett Veach is going to see what may or may not be available out there, either on free agency or, as you said, practice squads, etc. But I thought when he was asked about Kingsley, that might have been one of the more interesting things, because we kind of knew about
Pacheco. I kind of thought he would just do the he's the starter bit.
Because we already knew a little bit about the Pacheco injury stuff this morning and even late last night. But he says he has not determined whether or not Kingsley Suamatia is going to be the starter on Sunday night in Atlanta. It doesn't mean he's not going to be the starter, but the fact that, I mean, you know, he could have just come out there and said, oh, no, you know, there's some things we need to work on, but he's still going to be our guy. He could have just squashed that right now, and he has not. I know you might be saying, well, duh, because they put in Wanye Morris. Of course he hasn't determined it. I guess that's fair, but at the same time, remember, Kingsley won the job throughout the entire offseason. There was no real competition during training camp. Mm-hmm. One bad half, really bad half, against one of the better pass rushers in football. Is that enough to just completely abandon, you know, abandon? They won't like that, but you know what I mean? Like, abandon him as a starting left tackle already?
If you switch to Wanye this early, woo! Talk about a shake. Talk about a turn of no confidence.
Yeah.
Because again, yeah, he had won the job coming out of training camp, and it pretty much won it for the majority of training camp. Was your full-time starter in week one, and then what? Trey Hendrickson kicks his ass, and then it's all she wrote? Now, I know the circumstances were different last year, because when Juwan Taylor got benched for hurting the team actively in a game, well, they owed Juwan Taylor a lot of money. A ton of money. $80 million. So they had 80 million reasons to put his ass back in there at right tackle. So he was never going to go down like that.
And that was penalty related,
but
too.
But just like, it's still performance-based, but yes, I understand. But so, it seems more correctable probably in the time. But also, I just kind of thought he would do the, oh no, we sat him down, he's our starter still, we just had to do what we needed to do to win that day, we're going to work on a practice this week, you'll see Kingsley out there. And instead he went vote of no confidence. He went, I haven't really decided yet who's going to start at left tackle. And you're like, ooh, already losing a little faith, because week one we were feeling pretty okay about left tackle because we thought, if this is the floor, all right. But if you're telling me right now they're switching left tackles already, well, then my offensive line concerns skyrocket. More than wide receiver. Hell, more than running back, even though they just lost their starter.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes more problematic. I think, though, it's a huge decision to make if you're in week two going to start Wanye. Because, and look, your ultimate goal is to win football games and put the best players out there. I understand that. And if they think Wanye is better prepared to handle that matchup, then so be it. But I think there is something to be said. You're correct. The financial element's not there. But you spent a second-round pick on Kingsley. You named him the week one starter. There was not a competition in camp. If you go to Wanye in week two, they might disagree with this, but I think we just have seen enough to also recognize how this works. If you go to Wanye in week two, he is your team's starting left tackle. And unless he gets hurt, Kingsley,
it's his job. Kingsley's
you're not going to start Wanye in week two this early in the season after one bad half of football, and then in week three just start Kingsley. Yeah, you're not rotating offensive line.
This isn't just based on vibes the rest of the way. No, they're making a switch at left tackle if Wanye starts in week two.
And that's kind of why where are you at? What's your lean right now?
I would start
right
Kingsley.
Now? What's your lean? Yeah.
I would start Kingsley. Like, if you forced me to choose, that's what I would do. And that's what I think the Chiefs will inevitably choose to do. Because then you're right back to the drawing board. Like, if you start Wanye the rest of this year, I'll be honest. Well, then I'm done with Kingsley being the starting left tackle of this team. Starting left tackles for teams start immediately. Maybe the right tackle after Juwan Taylor moves on in a year and a half. Maybe he could be a guard if they want to move him there after Trey Smith. But if after one game of getting his ass kicked by, I would say, one of the top five current pass rushers in the NFL is enough to bench him and then never start him again.
It's pretty wild.
Well, I'm pretty terrified about what they think of Kingsley or his ability to make those adjustments on the fly. Because I'll be honest, he said, Mitchell Schwartz had said in a video breakdown after the game, that it's technique, not talent-based. Talent scares me more than technique. Technique, ideally, you can learn. You can figure it out. Now, maybe they think he needs a week of not having to learn it on the fly. You know, this is like Gold, if you went to go work at the iron plant, and they're like, hey, man, pour this molten steel. You're like, I don't want to learn this on the job, man. Maybe I could just get like a class or something first. I get the idea that maybe they want to do it.
Iron plants.
That's what it's called. I don't know.
The
steel mill.
The iron plants. Okay.
I was looking for the right analogy. It didn't come up quickly.
Yeah.
But when you, like, it doesn't matter. Like, on-the-job training is a more difficult thing to do when
I hear you.
Trey Hendrickson's coming at your ass. But I just assumed he'd start.
Look, I'm sure.
I just assumed they'd give him another try at it.
I'm sure Kingsley, probably actually looking back, is going to learn a ton from yesterday's performance, even though it was a struggle, to say the least. And if it is technique-based, something they can adjust, and I still think his ceiling is higher than Wanya Morris's. Wanya played four games last year. So, and we saw what that looked like. I would call it average left tackle play. Yesterday was certainly below average left tackle play from Kingsley. I know some people might disagree. I thought in week one, yeah, Kingsley was average.
That was fine. Yeah,
so
whatever.
Average. It would be surprising. I just think, especially for Andy Reid to make a switch like that quickly. I'm not convinced just because of the comments today that like I don't believe he's made his decision already, but the fact that it is somewhat of in consideration to have Wanya, yeah, instead of Kingsley is kind of telling. But my right now, like if you're putting percentage on it, I would kind of guess that Kingsley is still going to start on Sunday. But I think we'll have a better indication on Wednesday. Up next.
It just makes more sense for Kingsley to play.
Up next, we'll get to the text line after your comment. 913-586.
Call the steel mill. I got the right
7965. We'll get to the text line. We'll get to the random question of the day and a little bit more on Isaiah Pacheco and his injury and what it means for the rest of the backfield.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Obviously, the Bengals are going to be have more penalty yards. 8 penalties against the Bengals for 79 yards. Only 4 penalties against the Chiefs for 44 yards. So again, I'm with you guys. I think the refs calling that play is an absolute disgrace to football.
Bengals post game.
Disgrace to football.
An absolute disgrace to call that obvious defensive pass interference.
Who is it?
Bengals Pulse on YouTube. They get all the calls at home, man. It's just not fair.
Yeah, I don't think you can play that card.
Just not fair.
I don't think you can play that card.
Oh, my goodness. At least you're not coming to the show today with that stuff.
Because there were a lot. That was very much the energy of anyone who is anti-Chiefs because, like, you know, like Barstool Sports is like full of Patriots fans.
Yes,
so it's like,
yes.
Did they rob the NFL? Or it was Bengals fans being like, I can't believe they can't call that in that moment. And this is the same thing. There are some things I know that I'm wrong on and then we eventually have to change. Like Iron Factory. Got to admit you're wrong sometimes and move on with your life. But other times on this show where you and I have said similar things on like the referee thing, I've made it very clear my stance that on Hail Marys, you shouldn't just be allowed to pass interfere with
this
someone.
This wasn't a Hail Mary.
Because it agreed on that.
Yeah.
But that was the argument. Well, on a play like that, you should be allowed to what? Commit penalties? Disagree. I think all plays are created equal in which you are not supposed to penalize other teams based on that. And so,
it was
a Hail Mary,
it was
pass
a
thrown directly to one wide receiver who was clearly interfering.
It was a clear penalty. That,
yes.
You know, that
and not to mention, earlier in the game, Rashee Rice had someone acting like they were Rashee Rice's backpack before he was getting a ball. They didn't call, right?
Yeah, so, it was early for him too, yeah.
So I this is to me a pretty obvious one. Like we've had plenty of controversial moments in this rivalry. We've had plenty of controversial moments at Arrowhead and things like that. To me, this was not one of them at all. There's some other ones where you could nitpick a little bit more. This was a pretty basic defensive pass interference. I mean, if you even you got to be careful with like screenshots because you can make any play look like someone's wide open or whatever. But like if you do take a screenshot when the defender is pushing Rashee or running into Rashee Rice. The ball's not even in the frame yet. Like, that's how early it was. So I don't even, you can't run through a football player 2 seconds early.
Oh, yeah.
Just plain and simple.
Correct. If for some reason you were on the, He's going after the ball take. That's your take for the pass interference.
You can't go
they have equal rights to the ball. You're not allowed to go through someone's back. It's written in the rules. You cannot go through a player to play the football. It's offensive pass interference. If he does the same thing to you, it's a penalty.
If he came from the side, it's a different story, but he went through his back.
Yeah, I will say an incredibly stupid play by that player. What the hell are you doing?
Rookie.
It's 4th and 16. Let life play out. If they get it, so what? Life moves on, but
you just got to time it a lot better.
I mean, you can't just run the guy over. Mm. Like, there's still a chance he drops it, or it's a little high or something.
I know as fans, we've all been irrational at some point in time in our fandom. Right, and fanhood, I should say. Like, we've all been there, whether you were a kid, whether you're a grown-ass adult. I don't know. But, again, this is one of those where, like, I don't even know how this is the one. There's plenty of other reasons to be biased or think that your team got screwed, whether you're talking about your college team in a NCAA tournament game or whatever. Like, I've been there before. Trust me. I've been there. But this play was just not even anywhere near a play you could try to make a case for. Yet again, fan is short for fanatic, and clearly in Cincinnati, at least that was just one clip from a post game show. Obviously it doesn't represent everybody, but still, it wasn't just one person, I can tell you that, that was complaining about the Chiefs getting calls. And we've heard that time and time again, I'm sure, on Sunday Night Football, because the Chiefs always play in these standalone primetime slots.
Don't mention it. Yeah.
There'll be some play where, you know, the Falcons hit Patrick Mahomes out of bounds late, and it's clearly late, and they'll claim that it's something he only gets, even though we have brought up time and time again, Mahomes, I think, has the fewest roughing the passer penalties in football over the last couple of years. So anyway,
I kind of enjoy this is not a Cincinnati thing. Listening to other fan bases lose it a little bit. And you could have done this to Chiefs fans forever. It's kind of nice.
Of course it's great being
losing their mind.
Of course it's great being on top. The kings of the NFL. Everybody's chasing you. Everybody hates you. We have said time and time again, embrace the hate, Kansas City. Anytime people, whether it's social media or otherwise, are dogging Kansas City and the league is scripted and they protect Mahomes, all this kind of stuff only happens when you're at the top. People said it about Tom Brady and the Patriots. Hell, I said it, I think, about Tom Brady and the Patriots.
I've never accused the Patriots of getting favorable, or the Panthers of getting favorable calls. They're like, you know what? They're too nice to the Panthers.
People hate you because you're the best, and that's not changing any time soon. All right, let's get back to Isaiah Pacheco, though. We heard from Andy Reid the timetable. There is no timetable on his injury. That's going to require surgery. Really unfortunate, and it's pretty obvious at this point. At the minimum, he's missing a couple months, but it could end up being the season. He's going to go on IR. Other than that, we don't have official word for the team, but Ian Rappaport earlier today had this to say about what he's hearing.
Isaiah Pacheco, sources say, fractured his fibula in yesterday's Chiefs win over the Cincinnati Bengals. This was kind of the fear leaving the stadium. He was in a walking boot. He was in crutches. Anytime they're going to take a look at the bone, usually that's not good. This is why. Initial test showed a fractured fibula. Now, my understanding is he's going to have more tests today to determine if there is associated damage. In other words, if there is damage to the ligaments, what needs to happen next and how long he is going to be out. But it is a fracture, and generally those are 4, 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Don't be surprised if Isaiah Pacheco is placed on injury reserve. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, they do have some options at running back, some we saw on the field yesterday. They do also have Jerick McKinnon, who's played for them the last couple of years, who is a free agent. There are certainly some options, but they are 2-0, and they have now lost Hollywood Brown for the foreseeable future and Isaiah Pacheco to a fractured fibula.
This is a massive hit for their offense, because we can talk about whether or not it should be Carson Steele or a veteran or a combination of Clyde and Carson Steele and Pirine, which I think is probably the initial plan if Clyde is able to come off that NFI list here in a couple of weeks, but going into the season, Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco probably ranked as the third and fifth most important players on offense. I don't know, fifth and seventh. They were a big part of their plan to score points. Getting Hollywood Brown as a 700, 800, 900-yard receiver, depending on where you put him. Isaiah Pacheco is a 1,300 all-purpose back. That's losing a lot of offense you were trying to replace for the entirety of the season. Not like Isaiah Pacheco's out for the next 3 weeks and you got to just make do. These guys are lost for a majority of the season, if not the entire season. These are not small injuries. And I know last week it's like, hey, you're too worried about Hollywood. I'm like, they just lost what was supposed to be their number three or four receiving option. Now they just lost their lead back.
At least with Hollywood, there's a little bit of the fact that, like, hey, we never saw him play. So there's a little bit of that, I think, in some Chiefs fans' mind where
it's probably fine.
Hey, we've seen what they look like without having him in week one and otherwise. And so it doesn't feel as detrimental as what it maybe should feel. And perhaps you get lucky later in the year and he's an unbelievable late season addition and all of a sudden you got Hollywood Brown part of your wide receiver room. That would be a good problem to have at that point. With Pacheco, we know what he has been. We've seen him part of a Super Bowl championship team, multiple teams, and you know the energy level that he brings. He's also coming off a great game, and so that's why this one, I think, stings. I know this is never a run-first offense, but their backfield, if I just told you for, let's call it 2 months at minimum, for the next 2 months at minimum, that the backfield as it sits today at 12:45 is Carson Steele and Samaje Perine. Let's just call it like it is. That's the worst running back room in the NFL. It is. Now, that's not the final room.
I mean, I have to look, but it's definitely down there.
Maybe Zeke and Rico Dowdle down in Dallas give it a run for their money.
I'd rather have Carson Steele because upside, for sure.
You say that because, yeah, we think Carson Steele could end up being
like
great.
If you forced me to trade, I probably wouldn't trade because I'm not interested. Do you see how slow Ezekiel Elliott looks? My God, he's running in quicksand.
So there's a chance in a month or so we view Carson Steele way differently because he goes out there and against the Falcons on Sunday Night Football, he has a performance for 90 yards and two touchdowns. We're like, all right, no problem. No worries. Hopefully that's what we're saying, but we don't know yet. And so right this second, knowing that Clyde isn't even eligible to come back till the fifth, and then we'll see really if he's available. It is one of the worst, if you don't agree, that's the worst running back room currently of active players that are eligible as of right this second on Sunday night.
The only hope you have is the normal thing that happens with running backs is every single year. I watch two or three, I'm not even kidding, every year there are two, three, four teams who put in some running back I've never heard of. I don't know, Devin Achane, for instance, for Miami. Never even heard of the dude before last year. He wasn't even their starting running back when the season started. Remember, Devin Achane started getting some carries after like two other Miami running backs got hurt, and now he's their starting running back and one of the better ones in the league, seemingly. So, look, for as many teams as there are that just have like Breece Hall and they know he's the goods, or Christian McCaffrey, who's hurt too, and know he's the goods, two, three times, four times a year, there's like four running backs who start for like a whole year for a team. I'm like, I didn't even know this dude existed. So I'll have I got the 20% chance that Carson Steele's just the next version of that. He's the Peyton Hillis this year. And I'm like, who? And all of a sudden they're on the cover of Madden and everybody feels good about it. But there's still a chance that he's just league average or below league average, and they're going to have to make do. And look, the truth is, Patrick Mahomes is going to have to play a lot better football than he has played for the last 20 straight games. Because last year's statistical season was not great when he didn't have weapons. In the postseason, he was postseason probably different because he's always making special plays there. But in the regular season, including the first two games this year, meh, right? But I don't assume that that's going to be the case all the time. And they're also 2-0. So, like, they found a way to win even when Patrick Mahomes isn't at his best. So the running back one concerns me in a weird way, maybe less than Hollywood, but they needed him. It's a problem either way. And banking at this point, I am going into the rest of the year assuming neither of those guys are playing for the Chiefs again. If they do,
I think you do have to approach it the rest of the way that you're not going to have them. And if you're lucky late in the year or come playoff time, boy, that'd be two great additions. You know, I think at this point with what we know, today's surgery for Hollywood Brown, hopefully all goes well with him. He's having surgery in Colorado today, and we'll probably learn a little bit more about, based on what they actually had to do in said procedure, if it's one of those where he's able to come back or not. But some of the reporting over the weekend suggested that he's for sure done for the season, so we shall see. Between the two, like, it's tough without knowing the exact details, but who do you think is more likely to come back at some point, whether it's postseason or not? That's a tough answer to give right now, isn't it? Like, I'm trying to decide on what way I would lean. If I told you one player is coming back come playoff time, who do you think is more likely?
Pacheco, probably at this point, just based on the,
I don't know, ankle injury with the gut cutting and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like it's probably about a 50-50 shot for both. Postseason. Somebody over on Twitch pointed out, it's like the same thing. It's Jordan Mason. Like, you know,
in fairness, that's the
Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, running scheme. They've had guys like Alandis Gary and Tatum Elijah Bell Mitchell. And I'm talking about going back to the Broncos days with the Shanahan system.
But yes. But I also think that like Isaiah Pacheco wasn't some found source.
I hear you.
Isaiah Pacheco was in the seventh round. He was out of nowhere too. Like I know in Kansas City we were familiar with the name a little bit, but he wasn't even the starting running back going into the year that he had been drafted. And then all of a sudden he was like when he was drafted, they weren't like, here's our guy, seventh round, borderline Mr. Irrelevant. And then he was the starter. Like I don't know that Carson Steele's going to be that. I'm not just like pinning all my hope on that. But I'll take the next couple of weeks to figure this out.
I think they're just going to have to anyway. I don't believe other than going down the Jerick McKinnon train, which to me they have some Ajay Pirine, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go the McKinnon route, in my opinion.
Me either. He doesn't fit the need. They need a more of an every down back than what Jerick McKinnon offers.
Random question.
Not kidding. This is perfect timing. My random question was actually sports related today. So for you, Alex, for you, Drew, and over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch. My random question today was going to be sports related. And now this breaking news is going to make this conversation even more fun. My question was simple. Who's worse, Bryce Young or Bo Nix? Who is a worse quarterback? Because just reported by Tom Pelissero, the Panthers are benching Bryce Young and starting Andy Dalton beginning this week.
He's back.
Bryce is our quarterback, but the season quickly slipping away. Canales has decided to make a change and start veteran Andy Dalton. We could just talk about that, but I was going to seriously ask you who was worse. That was my question today.
He said Bryce is still our quarterback?
That's what he claims. But
you can't say that and then bench the number one overall pick.
Who's reporting this? Pelissero?
Tom Pelissero.
Jeez. I mean, look, Bryce Young has been terrible. We discussed him last Friday, and it's like, man, I know it's still only not even a year and a half into his career, and he's had different offensive coordinators and head coaches already. Not three seasons. This is his second season.
Nobody's better at picking backup spots than Andy Dalton. He just knows the quarterback that's going down next. Yeah. He's the damn grim reaper of backups.
Look, Bryce Young has not played well enough to start. I get that, but at the same time, he was your number one overall pick. You're basically already saying that you don't believe in this player and he's toast. And I get why they're feeling that way. I wonder if, even though we heard Dave Tepper wanted Bryce Young and that's why they drafted him a year ago, I wonder if this move also isn't the owner chiming in again and getting involved more than he should. Not that Bryce Young has earned the spot based on his performance, but the minute you do this, like, I don't know how you go back to Bryce Young in 2 weeks.
There's no way. He's gone. He's gone.
You've said it's a bust. You have said that pick was a bust now.
I can't even argue it, though. I mean, he's been the worst quarterback in the league by a mile, but he's a former number one overall pick. Certainly somebody, right? We'll give Bryce, like right now, if I'm the Oakland Raiders, or the Las Vegas Raiders, sorry. If I'm the Raiders, I'll offer you like a fifth for Bryce Young. I'll take a chance. Right? What do you want? You want a fifth round pick?
I'll
give you a little something if I'm one of these other teams that doesn't have a for sure answer at quarterback. I'd kick some tires around because the Panthers have just waved the white flag. They've given up a number one overall pick, Bryce Young. They've said, we're done here. Now, my answer, by the way, was going to be Bryce Young for this answer, not Bo Nix. But we can just keep it to the Bryce Young conversation for now because that's a big deal that the number one overall pick from last year is already benched. But, I mean, they've given up. That's it. It's done. Bryce Young, officially a bust for the Panthers, at least.
We're going to get to this a little bit later, but why, if you're Tennessee, Brian Callahan probably would be first in line to say, you know what? I'm willing to take a flyer on the guy.
Are you kidding me? He hates Will Levis.
He can't
hide his rage.
You mentioned the Raiders. I think the Tennessee Titans could be a potential spot.
But this is an off-season trade, guys. Bryce Young, I don't think Bryce Young is getting traded midseason. Why would you do that? Why would you do that midseason? He's going to have to learn a whole new offense midseason, and he stinks.
Callahan hates his quarterback that much. He might want to get him in just to groom him up to start next
year. For next year? Okay. Yeah. That's the only argument then, because otherwise,
or maybe
like,
the Raiders do the
wait
same
till
thing.
The offseason.
Because the Raiders could do the same thing and just have Minshew start as in.
But what's the opinion
there?
Of everybody? I know you're saying, like, hey, I just take a flyer on him. But what's the opinion on everybody around the league? Because he looks like he stinks. Well, I'm stunned that they're bailing. I'm stunned they're bailing on him 2 weeks into the season with a brand new head coach. Like that, 3 weeks now into the season with a brand new coach. That's surprising. But they have not seen anything to believe that he's also the real deal either.
I can't remember how bad Sam Darnold was, or Baker Mayfield was, rather, with the Panthers. But they had both been on the Panthers before and now look like they're having fantastic resurrections in their career. Not that Bryce Young is going to do that, but
yeah.
I think... that franchise has gone through so much and has been so bad for the last few seasons, and seeing the success from Darnold and Mayfield, maybe there's something there potentially with Bryce. It seems like Bryce Young's lost all of his confidence. He has none.
That's the thing, though. Like, we're talking about resurrecting his career. There's nothing to resurrect. He
hasn't had a career.
Baker Mayfield,
start.
Not only is he playing much better football now,
didn't either, though.
But Baker, yeah, Sam, it's two games, though, of Sam Darnold. Are we ready to say Sam Darnold's resurrected his career 2 weeks in the season? That doesn't
also
take
he
much,
looks,
then.
By the way, he also isn't resurrecting anything. He had no career. Yeah, like Baker, he's trying to start a career. Sam Darnold's not resurrecting
anything.
But if
their career's dead, then you resurrect it.
Well, Baker Mayfield, I hear you. I guess we're getting to semantics now, but like Baker Mayfield was in the playoffs with Cleveland. Baker Mayfield actually had some good season in Cleveland. Bryce Young hasn't had any success. Sam Darnold had zero success. I guess that's what we're saying is like, it wasn't like you had success, then you stunk, and now you're back. Bryce Young hasn't had any NFL success, so if someone gets success out of him, there's no resurrecting it. It's just for the first time having success.
Bryce,
I think that's
Young
what we're
is
arguing.
23 years old, which will still be the argument someone will make. He is 2-16 as a starter.
Yeah, the win loss thing isn't the problem. It's the
I know, but that's so egregious. I think there's like there's a point in which it says something. But I don't think it's the end all be all. 59% completion, 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. And he hasn't even been like the running threat you would expect, right? Like, I guess going in there, you'd be like, well, maybe he'll do something on the ground that other people aren't doing. He had 253 yards rushing last year. He wasn't even a rushing threat last year. He has 18 yards so far this year.
Well, that was one of the things at Alabama that he could have done, but he preferred to stay in. He was more of a pocket. He can run, but he stayed in the pocket a whole lot more at Alabama when he could have run multiple times. So he tends to be that guy that just likes to throw the ball. I just think his confidence is so beaten and battered, and part of it is, yeah, he's not at Alabama anymore and all of that, but I think not having as bad of a start as he has, he's mentally just completely lost it. He just isn't there.
Yeah, I know the owner wanted Bryce Young. We know that whole story that came out with Frank Reich.
They
did not want Bryce Young.
CJ Stroud. Yeah, bullets.
But the fact that he had backed him too after the game, Bryce.
A brand new head coach in Dave Canales comes over from Tampa, and two games in, you're benching the starter. That's a rookie or a second year player. This has ownership, David Tepper.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
Butting in again, all over it.
Well, here's they're the worst franchise in the sport right now. So do I think that Bryce Young just landed in a bad spot? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I were Shedeur Sanders or Carson, I don't care. Whoever the hell's going first overall this year, would I try to fight like hell to not end up with the Panthers? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the worst franchise in the sport. They're just going to like ruin your career anyway. So yeah, it's still big news. He only started 18 games, and the number one overall pick from a year ago has been benched.
Coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We'll get into the latest with Travis Kelce, what Andy Reid had to say about his first 2 weeks of performing in the NFL, and the audio fun bag returns here on a Monday post week 2.